The bell's already been rung, and they've heard it. Out in the dark, among the stars. Ding dong, the god is dead.
Hey everyone, welcome to Worlds of DC Podcast, a podcast for all things DC. Today is Friday, July 10th, 2020. And you're listening to episode 16, Board T. My name is Mikey from Detroit.
I'm T from Virginia.
I'm Kwamani from Memphis.
I'm Aaron from Texas.
And I'm Jamari from Orlando.
And we also have a special guest today returning from our previous episode. We have Joe Davis here with us. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's been a wild week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yup.
Today on the show, we're going to be getting into, we're mostly going to be talking about everything that happened with Ray Fisher and not revealing that how he was treated on the set of Justice League once Zack Snyder was no longer involved, which is something that a lot of us like had known already that Joss Whedon wasn't the best, you know, as far as handling the cast, but it was nice to hear Ray confirm it. And of course, there was some backlash and people really didn't believe him or were like defending Joss because they had great relationships working with him. So I guess first we can just go ahead and get into what were your initial reactions when you saw Ray's tweet and what did you think about, and it's, I think it's also different for us because, you know, we're a predominantly Black podcast, Joe, you're a Black, you know, critic, and so I think it's different for us seeing it, we see it from a different angle that here's this Black man who was like speaking out about how he was mistreated in the workplace and everyone's saying no, that didn't actually happen. You know, even though he was actually there. So mm-hmm. I guess get into how you guys felt about that as well.
I pretty much had called it, like, from day one when, like, from day one when they said that Zach wasn't going to be involved like that. I knew that it was going to be some mess behind Whedon's and his own, and his version of the filming. I just didn't think it was levels that were this bad. Because if you've been, you know, if you guys have been looking at the articles, it's not even just Ray. It's like everybody, but Ray is the only one who's like, you know what? I'm fed up. I'm gonna tell my story. And as a Black, kind of a not known Black actor, I can imagine he was like doubtful about doing this because, you know, he could get blacklisted. I hope he doesn't, but it's always that one possibility of getting blacklisted for telling the truth. But I'm proud of him for stepping up and just telling us what we already knew, basically, and confirming it.
Did you say Whedon's?
I did.
That is great. That is so great. I'm sorry. I just had to clarify. That was
I try not to give him a lot of clout, so.
Yeah,
that's our nickname for it. I think, didn't Jamari come up with that?
No, yeah. I did. I thought I did.
No, Jamari came up with Gem Rifle and External Drive.
Yeah, you're right.
I love y'all.
Thank you.
Okay, I guess I can say mine. Because when it was initially shared in our group chat, I remember I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he actually like went there. Like, because, like I said, I had heard that this was the case, but like actually hearing, you know, it's the difference between somebody saying like we have sources that say this happened on the set. It's a big difference between that and actually having the actor say it. Yeah. So like when he said that, I was like, oh my God. And honestly, I was expecting, like, you know, I don't know why I was being naive because this DCEU actor. But I guess I was just expecting him to get more support. I wasn't expecting so much backlash and negativity. Huh. But, you know, I
can't wait to get into that.
Because it's just like, you know, it's so weird to me that people are really trying to tell somebody who worked on the movie what happened on the set of the movie he worked. You know, it's just like, it doesn't make sense. But that, I guess that's basically how I felt about it. And I also, you know, I did feel a sense of, especially with everything going on right now, I did feel like, wow, this is really telling that a lot of these, you know, just to go ahead and say, a lot of these white critics are telling this black actor that he's lying or trying to advance his career, quote unquote. And that didn't sit right with me. It just didn't.
When the reality is, this could damage his career more. This could just make it like, to, like, producers will be like, okay, I don't want to work with this guy. He's like, he's like, now shut up.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, this whole situation with Ray, especially when he was name dropping the individuals involved, Jeff Johns, John Berg, and Joss Whedon, I wasn't surprised because, like you say, like, it was, you relayed this information, like, you heard that this had happened, and I kind of, you know, like, had, like, I was upset, more so upset that Jeff Johns was one of the main culprits, because prior to this whole Snyder Cut situation, I always considered him one of the bright lights in the comic book industry. I mean, I never heard anything bad about him or him being a harasser or an abuser, like so many of his contemporaries unfortunately are. So I kind of held him to a high moral standard of creativity and respecting other artists' visions. So to hear and see the evidence that he was complicit in doing this to Ray specifically, who had worked with Zach and Chris to craft a true to life cyborg Victor Stone interpretation that met the needs of a black character. And to see all of that thrown away because it seemed like Jeff was trying to chase the MCU and allow Joss to run roughshod and just ruin everybody's whole dynamic with the movie, it was upsetting. And then just to go off of what you said, Mikey, the whole notion that Ray would be lying about this when he's literally talking negative about, for some reason, a director who for some reason is so beloved because he made one show in the late 90s, early 2000s, and made a glorified Power Rangers team-up movie in the first Avengers movie, and, you know, except in a TV show that got canceled and then came back, they hold him to such a lofty regard, and they somehow think he's this, as in his own garbage words, a woke bae, that they just refuse to acknowledge all of these garbage things he's done, and would rather call this young, upcoming black actor a liar and say he's clout chasing, then acknowledge the fact that there was some foul play that happened. And to me, it was, I immediately believed Ray. There was no doubt in my mind that Ray was, you know, doing anything but being truthful. I feel like he was 100% being honest, and it just was very upsetting to see that this A had happened, and B, the lack of support that he has received from these critics who should be, you know, more inclined to believe him instead of trying to paint it otherwise.
Right. And I would add on to that is that there is a bigger issue at hand, mostly with the fact that, you know, just focusing on that he's a black actor and just that whole, you know, time, like you guys were talking about a second ago with the white critics just saying, no, you're just lying. You're just trying to get clout. You're just speaking ill of Joss or John or Jeff, knowing that's not the case because he spoke his truth. But that's also very similar, you know, to the treatment of a lot of different, you know, black entertainers, not just within, you know, film, but like we can look at how they did John Boyega or Anna. You know, we can go deep, and I'm sure we are, but it just... there is a very nasty stigma against black actors speaking up, especially within the nerd community. And, you know, we're really going to have to step up for each other, you know, just as, not just, you know, as black people, but also, you know, as fans as well. And just the outpour that Ray got versus the backlash that he got for it, including from John Berg, because he needs to be called out absolutely. You know, it's very sick, because that's the kind of stuff that they've been pulling, you know, for decades. And it's time for that to go.
I agree completely.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love listening to y'all, and everybody had like really, really good takes on this. From an angle that is not out there, because just watching him and just being black and knowing this black man and what he's doing, and knowing that I've been through similar experiences in academia before, I just kind of was like, oh, this is like, I felt like that meme. That baby, what is you doing me for a second, you know? But then I kind of like, but then it was like, you know, okay, he's not doing this for anybody but himself. He's like speaking his own truth. He's telling this for, and you know, getting this out and letting people, you know, letting his own truth just kind of ring out. And that's why every time I post it, you know, speak your truth and, you know, just tell, don't care about, and I don't think he is caring about who is co-signing and who is backing him up at this point. It's just kind of getting it out there, because you got to understand, he's been hanging on to this for how many years, you know? And then you got these people coming around now. Hello? Oh, you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I thought somebody said, hold on. But if you can hear him he's been holding on to this for this long. And, I don't know. It's just, it seemed like time to purge, you know? And so I encourage it. And I heard the story about Jeff Johns and John Berg and, you know, Joss Whedon last year, when I kind of hooked up with the Snyder Cut fandom and got to, you know a lot of people in it. And sort of picked up little pieces, you know, of it. But, you know, it's pieces that people knew, but nobody had proof of, so nobody could really publish, you know, or really go to the press about, you know, because there's no real hard proof, but everybody, it's kind of stuff everybody knows happened. And that's the funny thing about the critics that kind of went in on Ray, talking about him trying to clout chase and, you know, expand his career and stuff. I'm like, y'all know, y'all heard this. Especially if you've been reporting on this movie all this time, trashing this movie all this time, you've heard this. So the fact that you're like, you know, now you're going to tell this man, you know, that his lived experiences are false. Y'all just as racist as the rest of them. You're helping the system. So, I mean, y'all are part of the problem. And when
absolutely
the rest of them kind of get washed out, they need to go too. And I'm sorry, and I know I'm going to catch it because they're fellow critics, but at this point, to me, you're not a critic if you're harassing the fans, if you're harassing the talent, and if you're harassing the director. Your job is to get in there, report on the film, get out. And if you're still hanging around, making your little commentaries and, you know, trolling and looking for clicks, you're not a critic. You're just a glorified blogger.
Right. And I just want to add a little bit, add this one piece that I've just been, you know, stuck on thinking about since this all broke down. And it's also just a manner of favoritism that's also being shown, because, Mikey, you brought up John Boyega earlier with what was going on in comparison. And it almost feels like it's easier for them to swallow, you know, John Boyega, because everybody likes Star Wars and everybody wanted to like Finn a lot more than what they were given. So it's easier to rally behind him. But there's also this stigma with just DC movies and especially Zack Snyder movies, where there's still this ingrained idea that if you do any of these type of movies and it's not an explicit version that you've already, seen previously, that you're not worth the trouble and you're not worth the time. And it just bothers me doubly, because not only is that being applied to Ray, but also, again, with him being a young black actor that's up and coming. And it just seems like they're using those outs to ignore the reality of the situation, which to me is it's very egregious, because with Joss, even if we take out Jeff and John, even though that's we shouldn't because they are very culpable, even if we just focus on the Joss Whedon aspect of it, this isn't the first time somebody has spoken out against Joss Whedon. His ex-wife, who would know him better than anybody on the internet claims to, said a lot of these things that are aligning up with the things that we heard about that he did on Justice League. So the mere notion that it's not immediately support Ray Fisher by everyone, not just the fans, but from the people, the critics in general, it just really bothers me.
Isn't that the way, though? I mean, isn't that the way it is when a black person speaks up? You got to have, like, a couple of white people come behind them and say, oh, yeah, we saw that, too.
That's right.
Before somebody says, oh, okay, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's been, you know, kind of my experience in academics. And so that's why I kind of, the story, I guess, really, really sticks to me, because, I mean, I kind of, it's lonely up there when you're trying to, you've got this information that, you know, about this company that you know how heinous they are, you know what they've done, or you, or this person, and you know what they've done, and you see them, you know, especially now during the support Black Lives and all this other,
right,
you know, stuff, and you see them doing this, and you're like, no, I know what y'all did, I know who y'all are, you showed me personally.
Right.
And that's like another reason why I think it was time for him to get it out, because you can't be over here talking about you support Black Lives and y'all were hella racist on the set. No.
Absolutely.
That's right. The biggest thing of it all. You're exactly right on that. And I feel that if he had not spoken up, the charade would have continued on and on.
Yeah.
Right.
Honestly.
And it's like, and I've seen people say, you know, just to try to justify it, oh, you know, it's just more toxic stuff from the Snyder Cut. First they bullied Warner Brothers into releasing the movie. Now they're trying to bully, you know, Jeff and Joss's, you know, reputation into the ground, just trying to take over everything. And it's like, and it's just like, where are you trying to find the correlation in all of this? Like, at some point, you're going to have to just a little reflect on your words and see that none of this is making sense. It's there comes a point where things, like I call it just going from one threshold to another. We've crossed the threshold from just talking about regular movie stuff, and now we're talking about people's experiences, lives being accosted in, and, you know, just being taken advantage of. And that, to me, should, you know, whatever preconceived notions you've had about the Snyder Cut, that should be pushed to the side, because now, in especially with the climate and everything that's happened over the past 2 months, and like you said, they keep saying support black voices and all of this, but then a black voice speak up and it's crickets.
Mm-hmm.
It's tweets not loading right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's accounts, you know, this account doesn't take tweets, you know.
Right. It's Black Lives Matter until we open our mouths.
Exactly.
It's just like,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's Black Lives Matter when we're being killed, but then when we actually have to live our actual life, then it's crickets.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like I totally agree with everything you guys said, but I also just want to say that, like, another thing that really bothered me about this is that I don't like how, you know, people were making it about, like, I feel like people were making it so much about, and this goes not just for the critics, but also some of the fans, I feel like, are making it so much about, you know, Ray being upset about the Snyder's vision not getting released. And of course, that's a part of it. But it's also just like, this black man was abused on set. Like, and it's not just him. Like, we have reports of Gal Gadot's stunt double saying that she was locked in a room and told that if her career, like, her career was in danger if she didn't do the scene. Like, this man was belligerent and abusive, and it's not just about the movie. It's bigger than the movie. And I feel like that was something that kind of was bothering me too, because I felt like we were getting lost in the discussion and focusing on things we shouldn't have been focused. Well, not us, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people were focusing on things that they shouldn't have been focusing on. And so I feel like that's a factor too that we need to really acknowledge, because as much as I'm sure Ray was passionate about getting Zach, I mean, he's the number one Snyder supporter. He's always on. You know, he's always been Team Snyder, but at the end of the day, I feel like
there's a reason why Ray Fisher felt like he had to speak up and say something. And I felt like it was bigger than just the movie. It was about his experience and him wanting to let people know that Joss Whedon ain't it, you know, right. And that in future, you know, for future reference, I really hope that there are great repercussions to this, that he, like, doesn't work, or at least not on such a big profile project, because it's ridiculous. It's absolutely sickening, you know?
Yeah, I am going to say it with full force. You know, people like, you know, as soon as individuals like Alan Tudyk and other friends of Joss Whedon either responding directly or liking certain tweets defending Joss, and then people took that as an indictment against Ray. And it's like, no, just because a couple of his buddies, you know, just falling for the okie doke, either willingly or taking him at his word, doesn't invalidate anything Ray has said. Just because a person treats you good doesn't mean they're gonna they're treating that the next man or woman right. And so that to me bugged me a tremendous amount, because it's like, as soon as a couple of people spoke up on Joss's behalf, then it's just like, oh yeah, of course Ray's lying, you know, because such and so and so said. And it's like, no, that's not how this works.
Right.
And that's the other thing about it too. It's just like, just because you had a certain experience with a certain person doesn't mean, or doesn't take away from someone else's experience. Because it's just like, I've been seeing, like, particularly, like that, what's his name? Alan Tudyk.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, you may have had, like, a positive experience with him, but it's like, at the end of the day, that doesn't, like, excuse the fact that he treated these people, like, so terribly.
Right.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the ongoing situation with the actor we all, you know and kind of sort of used to love. I get that a lot of people have said that, oh, he never acted that way towards me. Okay, but that doesn't cancel out what has been documented.
Mm-hmm. And also, if he's a sexist or a racist, if you are a man, a white male, you're not his target, so you're not going to see it.
Right.
You're not the target. So, I mean, he's not going to do anything.
Why, please.
You know, but you're not the target, so you will not see it. So you have to depend. You have to depend on everybody else's experience. Because you're not going to see it. That's why it boggles my mind. Well, it doesn't. Not totally. But it partially boggles my mind. You got so many of the white male fans that are so easy to dismiss this, forgetting that they're not the target of racism and sexism. Right. So they won't see it. And even homophobia. You're not the target, so you won't see it.
Speak on it, girl.
Right. And that's... And like, exactly, and like, as a straight male, like, I, like, that's why I've been, like, the one thing that other straight males, like, I implore you guys to constantly, employ in your life is empathy. That's how you come, that's what you have to do. You have to empathize with those who don't live your lifestyle or you know, or that aren't you. That's just basically that. You can't just sit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just can't sit back and go, oh, well, this, you know, that he's cool to me, so why wouldn't he be cool to you? No, because like you said, Joe, a racist isn't going to be racist to a white person. They're going to be racist to the race they don't like. A sexist isn't going to be sexist to a man. They're going to be sexist to a gender that they do not like. That is how that's the definition of it. So it's like, you have to, if you see somebody else in a community or a group that is being accosted, you don't go, oh, what did they do to bring this on? You empathize with them and you say, no, that's wrong. And you side with them and you create a space so they can speak their, you know, speak their truths and get out what they need to get out. And you allow them to do that so they can get the justice they deserve. And I 100% agree with you, Joe.
Yeah, we would have so many more of these aggressors off the street if people would just empathize with their victims. I mean, if they would just empathize with somebody who comes forward and says, I have a story, listen to that story. You know, and because if you listen to one, then the others will have the courage to come out, and there will be a pattern. You will see a pattern, and you will end up, you know, you will end up seeing that this dude is really legit a monster, and we should not be giving him the platform that we've given him, you know. And yeah. And you know, and let's not sweep, you know, people like Ray Fisher under the rug. No, let's go after Charisma Carpenter. Where is she at? Bring yes. her and see if her, you know, talk to her. Is her story matching Ray's? Probably. You know, Eliza, where is she at? You know, bring all of these people. These people should be the ones that we're looking to right now, not at the dudes who are his best friends saying, oh, he wouldn't do this.
Right.
They should have a platform right now.
Yeah, and then because it's like, yeah, and I 100% agree. Like, there's like, this isn't, this is unfortunately not the first time somebody has said Joss has accosted them based off of not being the same race or the same gender as him. So they need to be reached out as well. And if they decide to speak on it, that would be great. And if they don't, they don't. But at the end of the day, they need to be reached out to as well. And we need to stop boosting the signals of his best friends who's going to go up for him. And at best, it's going to give like a light admonishment that's not going to amount to any real change.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, real journalism, you go after, you find out he has other complaints. You go after those other complaints. You find out who those complainants are. Nobody's done that yet. Ray is the one who named the name, you know?
And he has the most to lose. This is going to be my last quick aside. And it's just, I'm like, I was for some stupid reason on a certain looking at websites to see how many people were reporting on this, reporting on this fairly for Ray and just making sure that they were, you know, accurately depicting what was going on. And I went to a website that rhymes with Feeding Mools. And of course, much to my chagrin, that they've, ever since the Snyder Cut has been a thing, they've constantly given all their, like 90% of all Snyder Cut related instances to this one writer who just insists on just making a complete mockery. And I, for some reason, thought that, okay, since this is a serious topic, that they would take it seriously, that they wouldn't just hand it off to their joke writer to write about it in a satirical, well, I'm using air quotations because there was nothing satirical about it. It was just completely writing it off. But that's what, basically what it did. It didn't, there was no fairness. There was no mention of how this black actor was speaking about his experience and how seriously it was being taken. It was just the writer in question using terms like Snyder bronies and painting Ray like he was potentially chasing some sort of clout and all of that. And I was just like, and it just really saddened me that even at on a completely serious moment that supersedes any type of conversation about the quality of the movie or how much business it's going to do for Warner Brothers, we're talking about actual human beings being accosted in their experiences and the allegations being, you know, thrown to another person, that it wasn't being treated fairly. And that to me just bothers me because it's like nobody's really trying to do right by this. And it really makes me upset.
Well, and I noticed my interview articles that I did with Ray, there were a lot of people, you know, like quoting them. And every single time, under the quote, story broke on Variety, and, you know, additional material at the Black Cape. And I'm like, y'all can't even, somebody who has source material from the person who is doing the talking, you cannot give them the credit of that information. But that's how petty it is. It goes down to even giving credit for the source material. I mean, so it's like, that's how bad, I mean, and that's how evil, it sounds crazy, but that's how evil and insidious this is, that they're trying to, I don't know, just trying really, really hard to just bury this in every way possible, but yeah, and what's really sad about it was no one asked why Ray was so loyal to Zach. No one asked why, you know, why he's supporting Zach so hard. Because if they would have, you know, gone to my articles and read, they would have seen that Zach, what he said about Zach and Chris, about how they were allies.
Yeah.
And how they wanted to flesh out an authentic black man's life in this character.
Yeah.
They didn't want him to be a caricature, a cartoon. They wanted to be serious. They want, you know, this is a man who's gone through a trauma. They want him to actually be a man who's gone through a trauma. And Ray specifically said, not somebody who's cracking jokes 10 minutes later. You know, this is a guy who's still going through stuff, he's processing, he's got PTSD. You know, so they wanted authenticity. And they kind of left it upon Ray to kind of do this. Even while they were filming, while Zach was filming, Ray still had the voice to say, yeah, he shouldn't be doing that, you know, or Cyborg shouldn't be doing that, or, you know, because they kind of let him be the expert. He's the black man.
Right.
Let him be the expert on the black man. And you go from that to what we're hearing about now. That's why this is, like, so, I think, dramatic. You go from somebody who's, like, got you, who's got this group of allies, like, be the expert, giving you the benefit of the doubt on your character, who's letting you voice, to have a voice in the character, someone who wants you to shut up, who's trying to make you stereotype it, who's trying to make it into a cartoon. And Ray didn't say this, but in my opinion, I think that's the reason why he got cut down so much, is because Ray wouldn't budge. I mean, that's my personal opinion, because, I mean, we know what he was trying to make the story into. And if you can't have a serious real would have asked him, I mean, or would look, you know, they could have gotten that, and it would have made more sense as to A, why he's supporting Zach so hard, and B, why he's coming out right now. But nobody did that.
Right.
Yeah, I think that, like, something else that you guys said earlier I've been thinking about is I kind of want to acknowledge it. I think, Joe, it was you that said it, about how, like, when people see somebody else speaking up, it's going to make them want to speak up. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing that people don't take into consideration, was that, like we said earlier, I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of opportunities for Ray might be not a thing anymore, because the people involved might be like, oh, he's just gonna, if we do something wrong, he's just gonna run and tell Twitter. You know, like, they might be scared to work with him, which would be very unfortunate, but it does happen to black actors. I mean, look at what Viola Davis just said about how she is literally she went to the same, she has the same education as Meryl Streep, but she gets only half the roles. So mm-hmm. it's very much, you know, straight white cis heterosexual club in Hollywood, and it's mm-hmm. already hard enough for black actors to get in. The only reason they're making strides is because people are literally threatening not to support a lot of these movies. And so for Ray to speak out and say this, knowing that, it gives me even more respect for him, and it shines a light on how hard that must have been for him to speak out. You know, like, it couldn't have been easy for him to do that, but he felt like, at the end of the day, I have to get into it because it's not just about me. It's about all the crew members that don't have as big of a platform as him that witnessed it too, or where, you know, they got it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we were just talking about, you know, the thing with Gal's stunt double, and some people were wondering, you know, I did hear, you know, some things were said to Gal too. But honestly, even if it was just a stunt double, that's still horrible. Like, at the end of the day, we don't talk enough about how this impacted. Like, there's so many horror stories about directors and the crew members and stuff like that. And, like, even if it wasn't any of the principal cast and it was just the crew, it would still be a problem, because this is not, it's clearly not the experience they were having when Zack Snyder was attached. Period.
Yes.
So, I just really, like I said, I have a lot of respect for Ray, and I know I kind of sound like a broken record, but I just do. I think he's just, like, him speaking out, it just, and not only that, but it prompted some other people to speak out and, like, share pictures, and, like, I feel like it's not over either. I feel like it's only a matter of time before we hear from Jason Momoa,
before we hear from Gal, before we hear from Ben Affleck, you know, like, they were the subject of it too.
Yeah, people were like doing like clips of Amy Adams, how she did not want to talk about Justice League, and when she did, it was just kind of like you knew something happened to her. You know, the girl had an experience. You can see it in her eyes whenever she was like forced to, you know, make a comment. You know, on some of them. But if you watch some of them YouTube clips, I'm like, oh, that girl went through something. But yeah, I mean, I think that first. Yeah, there was a lot thrown at Ray when this happened, but I think the fact that he's coming out and actually what he did for Joyvon Wade to the fan, you know, anybody you come at him, you know, I'm blocking you. That was I think a step up. I mean, I think that was a step in his favor, showing that he has nothing. If he was really really petty, he would have gone after him too. And he would have took that. I mean, because I don't think he said that, made that post to like take a dig at Justice League. I think he was just happy about his character, you know? And his character is supposed to be comical. I mean, anybody who knows Doom Patrol, you read the comics, you know, they're supposed to be belligerent. So, you know, he can have that cartoonish, you know, sort of existence because that is in line with the character he is playing.
And I mean, so and also, too, it's just a different interpretation.
It is. I mean, it's a different story world. I mean, it's a totally different story world. So, you know, you're not going to have any serious characters at all. You know, I mean, hell, one of them is just a walking machine, you know. So, I mean, Brendan Fraser is a walking machine. So, I mean, you're not going to have any serious characters on there at all. So, of course, you're going to have the cartoony, you know, cyborg. But, you know, and that's why I appreciate him saying don't make no division. And, you know, how they came together and, you know, he brought basically retweeted it. And to me, that retweet was a symbol of him bringing those two together, saying we're in solidarity and you're not going to take one black man and pit him against another black man just to divide us. You can't do that. I'm not letting you. You know, I just got out of it because to me it was symbolic. I mean, I'm just a little.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know what they've tried to do. You know they were trying to divide the two of them with those tweets.
Yeah. So. And they do that a lot. They do that a lot, you know, with anything that's not immediate DCEU related. It's like, oh, you know, this is somehow, you know, not as good. And I think that if there's ever a show that should not be included in that, it's Doom Patrol. Because Doom Patrol is, like, amazing. I don't know if you guys have seen Doom Patrol, it's really good. And I think that, you know, Joyvon Wade is really good as that version of Cyborg, you know, because it's a different version of the character. I think that Ray's more serious, you know, progressive, like, you know, black-centric version is amazing, obviously, and that's the version that I personally gravitate towards, but that doesn't mean that the other versions are invalid, you know, like, Cyborg was great on Doom Patrol, he was great in the Teen Titans animated show, like, that's the whole purpose of a comic book character, that there can be different interpretations of that character. So exactly. I get that you guys want to see Ray give him, and trust me, I do too. I want a Cyborg movie, I want a Cyborg HBO Max series, whatever. But at the end of the day, there's no reason to tear down the actors who are just, not only are they just, you know, doing what they have to do to get their paycheck, but also they're playing a different version that's not affiliated with the version that you want to see. So what's even the reason? I could see if it was like they recast Cyborg and, you know, the Snyder Cut or whatever. Then I would understand. But like, it's the same. I mean, it's not even the same version of the character. So I don't see any reason to get frustrated with that.
Yeah, and I don't, like, and it just so, like, and it wasn't even shade. Like, I don't even know how anybody can even consider it being shade at the moment. Like, you really would have to just be, like, on, like, just looking for drama for it to be considered shade at that point. So, like, shout outs to Ray and Joyvon just for being two dope cyborgs and just showing the solidarity that desperately you needed.
Exactly. And I think that show of solidarity, I think, is going to help turn the tide and make it to where it's easier for. I think we're going to hear a lot coming in the coming year about this movie. I think that they're trying to stop it. I think. You know, the Joss Whedon machine is trying to stop it. And But dude, you've done too much. You've done too much, and it's like so much to where it's like the dam is broken. It's got to come out. And the times have changed. We're not the same country that we were living in 6 months ago. People, I mean, there's a lot of white America is awakened to a lot of racism and a lot of isms that they were asleep to. And, you know, they're going to be asking questions and, you know, and so it's going to be, it's not just, you know, the black people saying, shouting Black Lives Matter. We got some allies with us. Our voice is louder. You know, a lot louder. And there's a lot of us now, there's a lot of us who have gotten the confidence too, you know, we're seeing the rest of them. So we've got a louder voice and we're demanding more. And, you know, we're not going to stand for a lot of it. So I think we're going to see a lot more coming out about, you know, all of them. And this movie is just going to be just one piece of it. There was a follower of mine. Well, he's a follower now. It's someone who got on my timeline in Twitter who found the whitewashing article that I wrote last year. And dude was like, is this true? I'm like, where have you been? So yeah, people are waking up. People are looking and you know,
yeah.
Allowing a lot of this, you know, so.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, like, another thing about it too, like you said, you know, the whitewashing article that you did, which was amazing, by the way. I think you did a fantastic job.
Yes.
But like, I just really think that we don't talk enough about how 90% of what Joss cut from his version was involving characters of color. Like, yes. It just was. Like, even Cyborg was predominantly, you know, that, but also, like, Ryan Choi the Atom and, like, Cyborg's family and, like, all this stuff that was just atmosphere for characters of color in the DC universe was just cut for no reason, you know? And I think I heard some people say, oh, it was just to get the runtime down. But at the end of the day, Avengers Endgame was 3 hours long and it made $2 billion. I don't think runtime matters. So I really feel like it was intentionally cut because that was the stuff that was focusing on characters of color, and he felt like, let's trim the fat, and to him, that was the fat. And I really, especially, it just bothers me that it was cut to focus on a Russian family, like, but that's a whole other conversation.
It was rewritten. It was rewritten, recreated. Because you gotta understand, Cyborg was the heart of the story. And so, from the way Ray described it, they put his character together. He went with Chris Terrio before they started shooting to develop Cyborg and his character. Before they started writing even the script, he was developing Cyborg character. That one character.
Right.
So the whole script revolved around him. So it wasn't cutting. It wasn't an edit. It wasn't a cut. He rewrote it. That's what Joss Whedon did. He rewrote it to write this, you know, character out.
And you know what? I'm actually glad we bring up the whitewashing topic, because there's something I actually want to kind of get into, if you will. The reaction I've seen from people on Twitter. While some people are, like, really supportive, and I'm just here for that. I'm here for the support. I'm glad they're supporting him. Some of these people are coming off very fake to me. Because when we were, from the beginning, when we were talking about Ray, talking about his mistreatment, it was crickets because I'm going to get into it. It was crickets because they can't stand Zack Snyder. They can't stand the DCU. They just don't like DC Comics. But now all of a sudden they want to hop on the train like they've been there from day one. No, don't come here with that. Yeah, that's bogus.
Yeah.
That's absolutely bogus to me.
Yeah, 100% bogus.
Absolutely bogus. And we had said that we were fed up and we were going to really get into it. Because it's a lot of these, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, it's a lot of these blurred accounts that claim that they, you know, they stand with Ray Fisher, they support Ray Fisher. Where was the support 3 years ago when we were all screaming about this issue and you know, it was, I don't have to support everything black. I don't have to support everything black. But now that Ray Fisher is getting clout and he's trending on Twitter.
Y'all want to run up in here like y'all been here from day one. Get the hell out of my face.
I'm going to keep it.
here even when I wrote about whitewashing. It should have been a story. You know, it should have been a huge story in Hollywood. Where was
exactly.
No one wanted to touch the story.
Of course they don't, because they're too busy having this unknown hatred for a man who had a different idea for a comic verse. That's it.
Right.
That's all they're focused on.
And wanting clout. And wanting clout from certain other, you know,
it's just
verifieds.
It's crazy.
They fully support a cinematic universe where they didn't discover black people until 2018, but for some reason Zack Snyder is the devil and everything he does is just trash, and it's just really frustrating.
It is real funny to me. It's real funny.
That was good. That was accurate.
Yeah.
It's actually real brazen to me, actually. And you know what? I really don't care who gets mad what I'm about to say. It's brazen to me how everybody threw their support behind an actor who said black women need to look past what Nate Parker did, but y'all couldn't support Ray Fisher.
Or still holding out hope that Marvel's gonna treat Storm with any love and dignity when they couldn't even treat their one white super female superhero with any dignity by chucking her off a cliff and making her solo a preview that most people don't care about. But I'm gonna keep it 100% honest. I'm not convinced by a lot of these blurs that they care about. I feel like they're using Ray's situation as it means to trash Joss Whedon first and foremost.
Absolutely.
And it just so happens that Ray's story is a microcosm of them doing it. Like, there are those blurred writers out there who write about a variety of topics, but wear their blurred sleeve, you know, blurred heart on a sleeve. But it's just amazing to me how they've interacted with those who've interacted with the Snyder fan base, and they were drinking the old Snyder cult, Snyder white dude bros Kool-Aid.
We think we're all white dude bros, ignoring the fact we have a whole freaking hashtag diverse DC stance. Like,
right.
Really? Y'all
and
were
not even
with
that
crap.
Not even just that. But ignoring the fact that, like, all the biggest people in the fandom are women, an Asian girl, a black man. Like, what? Like, I'm confused. I'm not understanding.
You're confused. Imagine how I feel.
And they're doing all of, like, they did all of that. But now when it looks like they can trash Joss Whedon, then they're going to say, oh, yeah, we stand with Ray Fisher. Like Future and Drake said, where you was at when all of this was starts popping off? Like,
and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like I said before, it's not bad that they're supporting him, because he needs all the support he can get, because he's just sending a lot of positive vibes and good thoughts. But I do not want this man used as a clout chasing moment, and that's exactly what the hell's going on.
Yeah, and I agree. Yeah. I agree, Keith. I'm not saying everyone is doing this, but I don't believe 90% of those actually care about Ray's situation. They're just using it.
And you know exactly why I know it's BS, because I'm going to always bring this up. I don't care who gets mad. Oh, well. When Titan started, Anna Diop literally ran off social media behind death threats.
Yep.
Behind death threats. And it was crickets. It was pure crickets. For what reason, you may ask? An outfit they didn't like.
And you know what really kills me about this, about all of this, is that
outfit.
Right.
And the wig. Don't forget the wig. They weighed in on the wig.
I'm
like,
don't forget the hooker wig.
Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that numerous press releases said that was a temporary costume, but just people refused to read it or take it seriously, so because they just wanted to feel justified in their hate. But what kills me the most about all of this is that a lot of these blurs, preconceived notions about Zack Snyder, his movies, his cast, his crew, all of that, come from the very same white nerds that
they supposedly can't stand.
Yeah, not just can't stand, but are the same ones that, keeping it a buck, keeping it real, six months to a year later, they're doing op-eds talking about how such and such company only hired them as a token, or such and such individuals treated them right, and they're the ones who were the ones planting the seed. So all of this stuff that you learned, quote unquote, about this stuff, you learned from people who did not have your best interest at heart, and B, was just trying to manipulate you for their own personal gain.
And now you're looking stupid.
And not only are you doing that,
but now you're trying to catch up on the bandwagon when even that, like, even then, it shouldn't, as a fellow black person, see, I've never capped for, unless it's something so egregiously anti-black coming from another black person, I've never been on the mindset of, oh, we don't have to support everything that's black. As a black person, I'm like, yeah, if it's black and nobody's getting hurt,
it's not blackity black. I'm gonna support it regardless. Like, I'm like, even now, when Black Panther 2 comes out, you bet your tail I'm going to support it. You know, I'm not a huge Marvel fan. Why? Because it's the first predominantly black movie.
Right, and it's right. and it's not lost on you. They're quick to drink the Kool-Aid of white nerds and influencers that they know have clout. And you have the grassroots multicultural nerds who know this is not what it is. They have all these words for how we're wrong. But then when they get kicked to the curb and then they get, or after they get exploited and they realize that the people that they were going up for didn't have their best interests at heart, now they're trying to turn around and try to, you know, join the bank. And now, like, where was you with all of this was happening and we were trying to get your attention then? Where was your voice then? You showed me who you were. If you weren't willing to stand up then and use the platform that you have and fight for this blatantly wrong thing happening, why would I expect you to do it now? And why would I take you seriously when you...
We were ready.
But not even just that. I have a good point that I want to say before I forget it. Like, this is my thing about the we don't have to support everything black argument. Like, I could see if we lived in a time period and we had a society where black representation was commonplace and it was just like everything black. You know, like we were on the same equal playing field as white people, but we're not. So when black stuff comes along, it's so far and few between. And there's so few opportunities for black actors, especially to be the heart of a major superhero movie, that I don't think the argument we don't have to support everything black is fair, because there's not that much black stuff to support, sis. Like,
exactly.
Mediocre black, bring it on.
It doesn't hold up to me.
And the thing of it is, to go back to what I was saying earlier, as a black woman, I have a right to not want to support that movie because of what the actor has did. But I'm gonna quote unquote look past it, but that will always still be in my mind.
Exactly.
That won't leave my mind when he says.
I can see if Ray had done something like that or said something like that about, you know, anti-black woman or anti-LGBT or whatever. He's literally been nothing but a pure sentiment role. Like, there's no reason not to.
Literally, like, he supported everybody. So and you know what? I'm glad I brought that up. People want to say, well, I hope his cast is supporting him, because it's uncommon to see non-black actors support the black actor. Okay, here's the thing, Art. Where were you?
Yeah.
Where were you? Like you said, where was you? Because you're doing a whole lot of finger pointing at the cast and crew who are probably still under contract, but it can't save us so much. But I can guarantee that they'll eventually start talking. But you're not under a contract, so why weren't you?
Gal and Jason, like, especially like Gal and Jason, they both have movies coming up, so I'm sure they're still under contract. Like,
They're not gonna say anything. And you shouldn't expect them to, because they got jobs to care for. I mean, they got livelihoods and families. I mean, this is a job for them at the end of the day. It's entertainment for us, but it's a job for them. So, you know, they will speak up, I think, whenever they get to, you know, get an opportunity. They probably sign NDAs too. You know, we don't know. But I think they have showed that they're behind Ray, though. I think
and
they
not
have.
Just that. Yeah. And not just that, but we all know Jason Momoa don't give a damn. He's just waiting for the right moment. He gonna support Ray. Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, he literally leaked the Snyder Cut teaser, so I don't think he cares. But
he has no cares in the world.
He was the one that got people to come off with his own shit. So we finally just said, I saw it. Y'all gonna call me a liar? I saw it. You know.
Right. I agree with Keith. Jason just biding his time waiting.
Exactly. But so, I mean, they have an excuse. These so-called blurred don't.
At all.
Like, yeah. What's y'all's excuse?
This is my thing, too, about that. It's like, it's one thing if they, you know, if it was about purely the content of the Justice League movie, but it's bigger than that. It's about a black man's scenes being whitewashed out of a movie. So it doesn't matter whether you like the Snyder Cut or not. It's not about that. It's about what would happen to Ray Fisher. Like, so you don't even use the argument, I'm not going to support it because I didn't like the movie. Well, first of all, you haven't seen the movie yet. And second of all, like, there's no reason not to go up for a black actor's scenes being completely taken out of a major blockbuster. Like,
right.
The second you hear that, if you're so passionate about supporting black creators and Black Lives Matter, the second you hear that, you should immediately be like...
Exactly. I should have been immediately mad as I don't know what, making, you know, just talking about it. But it was crickets. Once again, because their hatred for a white man surpassed their support of trying a black actor.
Right. And it's not like this information was withheld, locked in a vault that only the staunchest and most hardened Snyder Cut fans knew. No, this was information that we knew basically from day one of the Snyder Cut being released, but nobody wanted to cover it. And then, unfortunately, not everybody's like Joe, who's going to do the right work to do it. So it's like, what are y'all sitting here doing? Joe did this and learned this and spoke up about it. Where the rest of y'all? Like, y'all can't tell me Joe's the only one with conviction. I would like to believe a lot of y'all have conviction equal to her. But, like, y'all are stupid. And it's like, and it bothers me. I'm sorry. I understand, like, again, like, it better late than never, and the more voices speaking up helps great. It's like, how long did it take? I compare it to NFL players who was in the league when Cap was taking a knee and could have taken a knee with him and chose not to. Now that it's been 3 years since he's been out of the league, now they want to start taking knees and stand and get his job back when they had the power to jump straight. And I to the same wavelength. Like, y'all got Warner Brothers about his cut at the period. Just the principle of this black man's and all people of color scenes being cut. That's what breaking off from your notions is. That's where. All right. I may not like this, but I know. This one had very right by the people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just it's wrong. And it's like I had to do a whole lot of spring cleaning on my timeline because after just seeing the legit fakeness of people, I'm like, you know what? I can't vibe with that. That's not with me. I can get jiggy with the shit.
Yeah, I think that another thing that I wanted to get into kind of, and I particularly want to hear Joe's thoughts on this because I feel like, you know, she would have seen it more, but like, we touched at the beginning a little bit about the white critics that came out against Ray and, like, you know, weren't really, like, they didn't believe what he said about Alan Tudyk and all of these, well, he's not a critic, but, like, all these white people with a platform, basically, were like, that didn't actually happen. There's no way, you know, Joss was nothing but welcoming and Joss is the only reason Justice League was good and blah, 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 blah. So I just really want to know, where was this energy when they were giving Justice League bad reviews and saying it was a Frankenstein movie and that it felt like a bunch of different movies popped together? You know, like, they literally, it's not like these critics gave it a good review. Like, they were trash-talking the movie. So I don't understand how now all of a sudden, because you want to defend your favorite white director, which I don't know why he's your favorite, because like you said at the beginning, most of what he's done I will admit I did enjoy Buffy. I'm not gonna lie, but pretty much everything else he's done, like, not it. So I don't know why everybody's so going up for him like that, you know. And I really do feel, actually, I do know why. Let me take that back. I do. It's because Ray Fisher is black. Period. Because had Ben Affleck or, you know, Gal said something, I'm pretty sure everybody wouldn't know it's not Gal, because I think because Gal is a woman, it still would have been the same thing. Had Ben Affleck said something, it would have been, oh my God, you know, we fully support you, blah, 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 blah. Like, it just, it wouldn't have been, it would not have been the same backlash that it was when Ray said something. So I was curious to how you guys felt about the level of backlash you got from the critics specifically, like, because I felt like we didn't really get into that.
Well, I have an opinion about that. That's hella connected. I mean, like, he is. He's connected all up to Hollywood. And one of the things I gotta understand is when you do these press things for, like, Avengers and Marvel, they take you out to go see where the movie's being shot.
Yeah.
And you stay in these nice hotels and, you know, you get all these free toys and, you know, you get all this insider information that nobody else has. And if you start talking against the dude who, or, you know, the guys who are, you know, kind of prominent in doing all that, or prominent in making movies that are like that, then, you know, you're cutting yourself off from a good thing. And that was one of the things, actually, last year when I was talking about the Snyder Cut, and I was writing about, you know, the whitewashing, I had a friend who's a journalist who said, you know, you're cutting yourself off by going this route. And I said, well, it's a good thing I'm independent. So yeah.
Period.
When it's all said and done, am I going to be, you know, saying, oh, that was one good ass trip I got off of that? Or am I going to say I reported the truth about this, and I got the truth out when it needed to come out and without waiting for people? You know, did I make a difference, or did I just sit there and get in and wait for a trip? And that's basically, I think, what's happening is you got these people who are, I don't even know if they're conscious of it, but they're trying to hold on to a very, very lucrative livelihood. It's a nice, fancy ass life. I'm not gonna kid you. It's really, really nice to be wined and dined by these studios. And, you know, some of these people that are, you know, have the directors and producers and stuff, they got say. They have say over who does what. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of, you know, them trying to keep their little property secure, you know, because after this COVID is over, we don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to go back to doing that? Are they going to, you know, see everything? And, you know, I mean, if I was one of them, I'd be thinking, are they going to see all my tweets and know that I was loyal? Am I still going to be on the list? You know, or am I going to have to go and work and scrape and, you know, try to, you know, get myself somehow in another way? Because, I mean, telling you from a girl who's worked and scraped and got herself in the other way, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, but I mean, because I got, I mean, my website, The Black Cape, I got it accredited by myself for all the film festivals.
Yes.
And, you know, and you know, got a couple of junkets on my own. It's hard to do. It's actual work. It's not work the way they're doing it. And so, you know, I kind of, there's a little part of me that kind of understands what they're doing, but it's still not right. It's still not right. You're still throwing this person under the bus. You're still throwing someone under the bus who desperately needs the help, who's needed the help all this time. You know, I mean, they should have been, I mean, I know I was even late to the bandwagon. Somebody had to show me the you know, everything that broke down. But I was like, oh my God, I was like one of the loudest people. I tried to tell everybody and was shocked that nobody wanted to hear it. Yeah. But I mean, that's my two cents into the why of it.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I've been dying to talk about that for quite a minute. Like, the whole thing about critics being wined and dined. This is the theory that I've had, and I didn't know for sure, and I'm so glad that you confirm it, that, like, the MCU, that's a big reason, because I distinctly remember there was this article. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a long time ago. But there was this article right around the time Batman v Superman was coming out about how the critics weren't invited to this early screening, and, like, a lot of critics were bad-mouthing Warner Brothers and all of this stuff. And, like, I feel like Warner Brothers doesn't want, like, you know, spoon-feed the critics the way Disney does. And so that, I've always felt that's a reason why the DCEU gets such harsh coverage, because they don't really, you know, I mean, unless it's a situation like Wonder Woman or Joker or Aquaman, where, like, the movie, or Birds of Prey, where the movie is undeniably good and critics have no choice but to give it a good review. Like, when it's a situation with a director they already don't like, you know, a cast that's not really established like that as far as, you know, their role in the superhero, I do feel that's a factor. And even with the movies that got quote-unquote good, you know, reactions from the critics, they didn't get, you know, I felt, particularly with Birds of Prey, that movie didn't have the Rotten Tomatoes score it should have, period. It just didn't. Like, and I feel like a big part of that is the fact that these critics, when they're not being, you know, spoon-fed, like, this is something else that, another example of this is, like, when Mission Impossible, I believe it was 4, I don't think it was 5, it was 4, Rogue Nation, what was it called? But when that movie was coming out, they literally flew out the critics to Dubai, they gave them this resort off the water, and they paid for their dinner and all of this. And so that movie has glowing reviews because a lot of the critics got to go to Dubai. Like, come on. And I can't even say I blame them, because if I got to go to Dubai for a movie, I'd give it a good review too.
And while we're on the topic of that, Warner Brothers, if you're listening, we can be bought. Thank you.
Yes, Warner Brothers, if you are listening, we are 100% willing. If y'all want to start playing this critic game, we will bamf every Marvel movie and praise every DC movie.
We can be bought.
Yeah. We can be more, period.
If you need us to hype up everything at FanDome in August, we right there.
We here.
But I do feel like I've always felt like that game is played, and I'm so glad to hear Joe, somebody who, you know, has that perspective as a critic, confirm that, period. So,
yeah. Well, Warner Brothers, though, they don't, and they're very selective. They don't do a lot of junket. The other ones do, and they're very selective, but they do, it's one of those things where you gotta have a relationship, you know. My relationship with the Warner Brothers rep got me into A Star Is Born to sit at the table, and I met Gaga, and, you know, and that was just a total surprise. But that was just, you know, somebody being nice and treating people like people, and that's how I do, that's how I was raised. But there's still this mentality that, you know, you want to be nicer to the ones that give the best toy, the best gifts and the best toys. I think Warner Brothers, they kind of see through that, because they kind of have their picks, and they kind of, I know, one of the reps, she actually does read the stuff that's written, before inviting people out to the stuff. But yeah, the trips and stuff is a huge factor. And the thing is, I think the reporters, they miss the fact that it's about your platform, it's about your reach, and it's about what you can do for the movie. And so if you become too toxic to sell this movie, they will boot you. So that's another thing too, I think, to consider.
Right.
And I'm wondering how many are watching right now, all this toxicity going on, you know, because they don't want to be attached. I found that out with a little outlet I was with before I started my own, that, you know, if you get too toxic and you got too much drama surrounded by your name, Disney won't even have anything to do with you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Especially if you're Black, and they literally just had we support Black creators in their bio 2 weeks ago. But so I find that very funny. But
Disney, though, is like one of the most, I can say they're one of the ones that has been, I've had like a personal drama in this whole world of blurred publications,
And when I finally told them what was going on with a publication I was with, and they kind of meshed it with other Black creators who came from the same publication, they put that they took that publication off their list, like with a quickness. Mm. So they do listen to Black writers. I mean, they do try, you know, to support. I mean, they do give the attempt. I will give them that much. They were like one of the only ones to, you know, like, okay, we're not messing with you. We can't have our name with people who, you know, do Black women this way. No, we're not doing it. So.
Okay. Well, that's good because, you know, this, like I've heard some not so great stories about Disney. So like I was worried about that, but I'm glad that they at least, you know, are backing up. You know,
in that one area, I'm not vouching for the whole thing, okay? Yeah. I'm not saying.
Yeah. No. I know what you mean.
But yeah, it's really nice. You're staying at, you know, Four Seasons. It's hard to kind of give up that type of life.
Exactly, and like I said, like I was just saying, I can't even say I blame them, because if I was being, you know, flown out to Dubai and all of this stuff, and all I had to do was give a movie a good review, I mean, it's a no-brainer. But I think that at the end of the day, it shouldn't just be about that. It should be about, like, you shouldn't only give a movie a good review because you were flown out to Dubai. You should give a movie a good review because you liked it, you know?
Well, and, so, you know, I guess it's a secret, but, you know, they know that if the movie's not good and you're not going to give them a good review, they understand. Because I told them before, all right, yeah, you did fly me out to L.A., and I did stay in that hotel, but this movie was not good. I'm not going to put it out right away, but it's not, the review's not going to be good. I mean, they do understand. I have had that conversation before with a publicist, and he was like, okay, thanks for telling me, you know? So you're not obligated, and I think that's another thing, too. You're not obligated as long as you're truthful. It comes down, I guess, to being raised to treat people like people instead of like stuff. If you see the public as a person doing their job, and to them, you're a person that has a job. We each have something that we have to do for one another. If I can't fulfill what they want me to fulfill, I'm going to tell them your movie wasn't good and it's not going to get a full grade from me, or it was trash and it's probably going to be a low. I will tell you, and they expect that. They will keep on trucking, you know. Matter of fact, I had one Warner Brothers person that told me a movie I requested, she did not want me to review it because she said it's not for you. You will not like it. I'm not going to give it to you.
we love the honesty.
Yeah, she's a Black woman, and she's like, it's, you know, it's the racist. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's being raised to treat people like people, and I think that's a lot of, I don't know if it's the mentality of people that are into this entertainment business or whatever, but when you're just in it for the things, it kind of bastardizes everything, and it gets us to where we are today, to where they don't even remember what they wrote, you know, what, 3-4 years ago, about the movie that they're, you know, trying to go hard for right now. So, you know, yeah, you end up in those situations.
Right.
Yeah. I definitely, you know, I'm not a critic yet. I mean, I that's something that I definitely is a career path I've thought about, but I'm not, so I can't really speak to it from that regard, but I have seen that game is played, because I have been invited to like some early screenings of movies, and like it's definitely been a couple, and I'm lucky enough to have like the person who I'm, you know, I have a connection with at the screener company is a Black man, so, and it's been a couple times where he's been like, nah, I don't think you should, because basically what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go in there, once you see the movie you have to tweet about it, like tweet out your reaction to like get buzz for it, and so he's like, you're not gonna have anything positive to say about this, so
yeah,
might as well just, you know, so that's happened to me too.
Yeah, and that's how it's supposed to work.
Right.
But yeah, that, I mean, but it is what it is, and I hopefully after this whole thing happened, with, you know, everybody being locked down, budgets are going to be down. Hopefully they find out another way, a better way of doing things. This whole virtual thing works, where you do the Zoom meetings for the junkets where nobody has to go anywhere. That works. Hopefully they keep that up, because I think that it'll make the industry more honest.
Definitely.
Need it.
Absolutely. So we are coming on an hour, so I do want to start wrapping up, but I have one more question for you guys. That's probably gonna, we're probably gonna be random about this one, or at least we're gonna have, I feel we're gonna have strong opinions about it. And that's the whole, the thing of, you know, Ray, as far as the actual, you know, representation of Ray within the Snyder Cut, because I, like, this is something, I don't know if you guys saw this as much, but this is something I really saw a lot, you know, as time went on after he had already spoken out. Some people being like, why are people treating, you know, Ray Fisher's role in Justice League like it's some groundbreaking thing and blah, blah, blah. You know, acting as if the representation itself was not worthy of all of this. And for one, I feel like it's kind of, you know, we haven't even seen it yet, so we don't know. It could be better than, you know, it could be better than some black superhero content that we've already seen. We don't know. But at the same time, I also feel like seeing a black man in a positive light in a situation where it's not about race, it's like, that's automatically good representation. So I don't think that, you know, that's really the point. You know, I think that this is, even if the representation, I mean, unless the representation was actively harmful, then I would understand. But even if the representation is only okay, it's still a situation I feel like, especially these black nerds and these black critics should be speaking out about. And yes, they weren't. So I was very curious. I'm curious to know what you guys thought on, like, this. It may not even be good enough representation for all of this, based on what we've heard and what Zach has shared. Do you think that, or do you think that that's not an issue?
Well, I can tell you exactly, actually. I talked to him. What I can tell you is you got to think back around the time frame. You're talking about significance. You know, why is this so big? The time frame that this was being set together, it was before Black Panther set the world, like, on fire. Exactly. And so this, Ray was going to be the first unproblematic black superhero, featured in a movie. Before anybody even heard of Black Panther doing anything. In fact, actually, during our interview, he said he actually was in talks with Marvel, went and talked to them first, and then came over to DC, and they gave him Cyborg. So I'm like, you could have been Black Panther. He didn't answer that. He was like, no, he didn't want to say that because, you know, he didn't want to, you know, take steam away from, you know, the people that are, you know, doing the Black Panther thing. But I'm like, yeah, okay. But in my mind, Ray Fisher was almost Black Panther. But he's such a big DC fan that when they said Cyborg, he jumped at it. So Cyborg came
first. Ray would have been an amazing part. Black Panther, by the way.
I know, right? Cyborg would have been first. That's a big damn deal. It is. Yeah. It is a big deal. It would have shown people not only where black people will spend money on black stuff, but that black people will spend money on Zack Snyder's movies, and would have shut up everybody if it would have happened. Yeah, we don't know how big of his role is, but we do know what Zack has said. We do know that, you know, Ray has said, and I put this in my article, that before the script was even written, they were putting in the foundation, the groundwork for this one character, a black man, black character. So, of course, the script was going to revolve around this one character. We know from these things and from what Zach has put out, it's going to be significant. So anybody trying to downplay that, I'm like, okay, so what is your damage? Why are you trying to, you know, what are you trying to accomplish by this? Because you haven't seen the movie. You haven't talked to anybody, apparently, because, you know, the fandom has all the receipts.
Right. And you know, right. you're just trying to take it. You just, what are you trying to do? What are you really trying to do? So, and as for the blurred media, that's why I'm starting Blurred Galaxy with, you know, a team of Black women, you know, because we're tired of it too. I mean, there's stuff that people should be talking about, and they're not. Given, and it's not. There's a hole, big hole, and we want to help fill it in print, you know? So.
Right. I definitely think that about, you know, as far as another thing that occurred to me as far as the representation itself, you know, is that, like, we have to think about this story is about Dark Side Apocalypse, you know, with the mother boxes, which are literally like, that's the plot, that they have to find these mother boxes before Darkseid does. Mm-hmm. And Cyborg is literally made of a mother box. So he has to be central to the story, you know? Like, there's no way you can do this without him.
Right.
So I don't see what the, like, what, it's not good enough representation or it's not that important. Like, just because it's not, you know, Black Panther where everybody is Black, I mean, that's amazing too. We definitely want to see more stuff like that. But there can be different types of Black, you know, important Black superhero representation. You know, just like I feel like seeing Luke Cage was important. Seeing, you know, the Black Lightning team was important. Seeing, you know, Black Canary and Birds of Prey. Like, these things are all important versions, different iterations of Black representation, because the goal here is to get to a point where Black people are, you know, commonplace represented in pop culture. There's a Black person in almost every TV show. There's a major Black character. That's the goal. It's to get to a place where we don't have to say, you know, we want Black representation, where we already have it. So I just, that argument really bothers me, but
yeah.
And there's also the argument, the, you know, to go along with that, the fact that, you know, the major superheroes that we have that are Black that have led movies so far, they've not been just regular Black people. They've been, you know, criminals. They've been, you know, aliens. Yeah. They've been, you know, even Black Panther. I mean, he's from a you know, made up African nation. He's not even from the experience here. Not saying that there's anything better or worse about it. It's just, you know, that we've not had just an American, unproblematic Black man leading a movie. You know, not a monster, not an angel, not a criminal. You know, and Cyborg would have been one.
Exactly.
And when I say criminal, Marvel, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Yeah. and just to quickly agree with you. Yeah, Cyborg. Just with the, just knowing, like, having so many people in my family who are just casual comic book nerds and everything, like, they knew who Cyborg was before they knew and or cared about Black Panther. And if that representation that Ray has been promising would have been released unedited, unfiltered, with no alterations in 2017, that would have hit a lot harder than what Black, because I had a dude I work with. I remember when I first got on the job, he was like, yeah, you seen Black Panther? I said, yeah. Man, that movie sucked. Like, because there were certain, just because, like, there were certain things about the movie that didn't quite grasp him. And that just tells me that even though Black Panther was first and it had a lot of cool Afro-futuristic tech to it, it didn't appeal to all, you know, it didn't appeal to every Black person. And not just every Black person, but kind of the Black American experience. And I know that Ray's telling the truth when he said that that would have been the type of experience you would have gotten with Cyborg and more. So I 100% agree that more than likely would have been Ray's spot. Like, Ray, like, would have been setting the precedent to which Black Panther would have to match in order to, you know, be seen as successful, whether that would have been the right case or not. But I 100% agree that, yeah, Ray 100% got screwed over, because that could have and should have been him.
Should have been, yep.
And to your point about Black Panther, and I'm saying this as somebody who really enjoyed Black Panther. I thought that the, you know, Afrofuturism themes, that's something that I've always wanted to explore in my own writing. So I was excited to see somebody get into that. I thought that the female characters were amazing. I thought that, you know, especially now in 2020 with everything that's going on, I've many times catch myself being like, I wish Wakanda was real. Like, I really do. Because yeah. I would go in a But it was an argument somebody, I think it might have been Kathy when we had her on the show, when she was talking about, and you guys know, anybody who even casually knows me knows that Wonder Woman is my favorite superhero of all time. Like, I love Wonder Woman so much. She literally been a fan since I was, you know, a toddler, like, watched the Linda Carter show, adore Wonder Woman. But there is something to the point that Kathy made, that Wonder Woman is a god, and she's not as down to earth as a character like Harley Quinn or Black Canary. Mm-hmm. You know, so like more people might be able to relate to that than they would be able to relate to this perfect goddess. And I feel it's the same thing with Cyborg and Black Panther. Black Panther is a king, you know, he's of a fictional, perfect African nation that, you know, has no problems. Whereas Cyborg is just a regular guy who is caught in a really, you know, for lack of a better word, really fucked up situation. You know, and yep. He ends up becoming Cyborg. And I feel like a lot more, especially because he's a football player and all, like a lot of Black men are going to relate to that. I already know. There's going to be, just like a lot of, you know, Muslim immigrants related to the fact that Superman was an immigrant. You know, I feel like a lot of Black men are going to relate to the fact that Cyborg is a Black man who was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like, I think that's, and I think that's also very indicative of our time period as far as, you know, Silas Stone, his father, is the only person who actually is able to save him because nobody cares when Black people go missing. Like, this right. stuff is all very, very timely, and I think especially right now, I don't know how the, you know, Black Lives Matter stuff is going to be when the Snyder Cut actually comes out on HBO Max, but right now, it's very timely. And I think that even I, as somebody who enjoyed Black Panther, I think even I am, like, more interested in that than, you know, T'Challa.
So. Yeah. Well, and, you know, you got to think about, too, Cyborg is, you know, like Black men in America, when bad shit happens to you, you got to figure it out for yourself. He's left with, you know, this disability and this situation that he has to get himself out of, you know.
Yeah.
And he's got the white friends who don't understand and, you know. Right. I mean, yeah. American experience right
that-
there.
That's another thing, too. I'm glad you brought that up, that he's disabled. That's another area of representation mm-hmm. that I feel like we haven't really seen.
Yep.
So, it's fantastic. It's great, and I'm really excited to see Ray. Because I thought he was, even in, you know, Joss Whedon's version of Justice League, I really thought he was interesting. Yeah. So, I'm really excited to see, like, him fully the way he was intended to be shown to us. Because He's a great actor. I don't know if you guys saw Boardwalk Empire, True Detective, I believe, was he on?
Yes.
So good. So good. Like, he comes from Broadway, and you can tell. So, I'm really excited to see him really get into it. You know, like...
Yeah. I'm want to see him get into it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess... With that, I guess we can go ahead and wrap up. If anybody has any last comments on that, if not, then we can go into Joe. I know you wanted to talk about, you know, you had mentioned it earlier, you know, the startup that you're doing, you know, for Black women. So if you want to go ahead and get into that, just so people who are listening can know, you know, what that you're doing and like what to support you as far as in the future.
Okay. Well, it's called, it's an online magazine called blurredgalaxy.org. And, it's called the Blurred Galaxy magazine. It's at blurredgalaxy.org. Right now, you can go there. You can see the founding team, myself, Regine Sawyer, who's the founder and leader and magnificent organizer of Women in Comics. There's Marquita Lestar. She's a journalist. You've seen her all over social media.
amazing person. And then there's Vinay Smith, who's an academic and a comic scholar as well. We all come from the blurred community, and we all bring from it, you know, just our kind of dissatisfaction with, you know, just what's being reported. And we're not, you know, trying to take a dig. You know, I know what I said earlier about how, you know, they're missing stuff and stuff. Okay, the blurred community is reporting, the blurred news is, media is reporting what they're reporting right now. We see a hole, we see a spot, we see a space where we can get in and sit down and say, hey, we're going to center Black women, but we're also going to focus on independent creators, you know, these people who are making these awesome indie comics, these people making their independent films, the independent musicians, the ones who need the platform, need the amplification, and they're not finding it. We're also going to be covering some of the big stuff in the studios as well. You know, the Snyder Cut stuff will be on there, definitely. And I'm, you know, kind of trying to renew some of my contacts in the industry, you know, to kind of get into those things so that, you know, wherever, you know, our voice needs to be heard, we will sound off, you know. But I think that right now we've noticed more than ever, you know, since COVID hit and people have been home, that people have been wanting information about things, then things are not getting reported, like so many things, you know, going on in the comic industry, the things in the film industry. There's like different scandals going on here and there and all over the place. And so we thought, you know, those things concern us. We're women, Black women. We're going to report on them. So yeah, our Blurred Galaxy magazine launches the 22nd of July, what is traditionally the preview day for Comic-Con. And we're going to be presenting you with the first week during our launch, the state of the blurred in film and comics and games.
That sounds
good. Yeah. So we plan on it's a team effort. It's a group of us. So we hope that, you know, it's kind of a passion project for all four of us. So we hope that, you know, our passion becomes your passion and you want to come and read our stuff. So you can go to, like I said, blurredgalaxy.org right now. See us. We each dropped a video on what being a blurred means to us. You can watch that and get going.
I think for all of us, I'll say that sounds great, and we're all going to support it. But I guess with that, we can go ahead and wrap up for tonight. It's been amazing talking to you again, Joe. Like we said before, like, you're, you know, seeing such a, you know, prominent Black critic be like so vocal about DC issues, it's like, oh my god, like, this is what we wanted in, you know, 2017, 2016, when it, like, the stuff was first going out. So, like, it's always great to see that. And, of course, it's just also just great to see you on the timeline to hear your opinion. So, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So, did you want to go ahead and give your socials where everybody can find you?
Oh, yeah. You can find me on any social media platform. Just look for Jonita L. Davis, J-O-N-I-T-A. L. Davis. You can find my work, all of my, everything I'm mouthed off about film and criticism and all that, it's on theblackcape.com, theblackcape.com. And that's where all of my reviews and ratings and mutterings and things are. I also have my personal website, jonitadavis.com, where I kind of rant and rave about everything else. So you can find me anywhere. And I mean, I'm not just a critic. I write about culture and social issues everywhere else. Finishing editing a piece for the crisis, NAACP crisis right now. But I have links for all that on my my webpage, jonitadavis.com.
So. Awesome.
Find me, follow me, read my stuff.
Okay. Okay, I guess everybody else, we can go ahead and go into our, you know, where everybody can find us. So I'll start.
I once again have been Mikey. I'm the host of the show. You can find me at, you know, on Twitter at Mikey_talks. Once again, that's Mikey_talks, where I, you know, talk about comics, a lot of social justice stuff right now, just as a heads up, you know, and also, you know, just pop culture in general. So whatever's going on, whatever's trending, I'm probably going to be talking about it. So you can find me, once again, that's Mikey_talks. And I'm also a writer. Hopefully my novel will be coming to shelves near you anytime soon, if I can ever finish it. But yeah.
And yep, this has been Q Kwamani, as always. And you can find me on Twitter at QuamanStarG, capital Q U A, capital M O N S T A R G. And haven't been pretty active as of late, but when I am, I'm probably tweeting about wrestling, Power Rangers, DC related stuff, or clowning the latest bonehead move by Marvel, and it's a frequent amount of them, unfortunately. And as always, you can find me and my brother on Into the Q-Universe every Sunday night on Facebook Live, where we talk about everything geeky, gamey, and nerdy. Hopefully we will be live this Sunday, and we will probably get into a lot of stuff. We might be getting into the recent bad stuff happening in the fighting game community, and also some of the stuff about the upcoming video game console. So look out for me there.
And this is Aaron. You can find me on Twitter at AaronMichael_J. You're going to find me talking about pop culture, comics, social justice, writing, you know, you name it. Just at the moment, I would like to say, Ray, if you really want to do a cyborg film or show, let me know, because I can write your script. Just holler at me. I promise you.
He's really good at it, by the BT Dub.
Fantastic. He's so good.
Hi, my name is Jamari. You can find me on Twitter at Jamari Writes, where I tweet about a whole bunch of random stuff. And yeah.
And also we had another person on today, Key. She had to leave. And you can find her at Kersey Lannister, KERSEI, and then Lannister. On Twitter, and she mostly tweets about a lot of the same things I tweet about, so yeah, you can find her there. But okay, once again, thank you guys so especially Joe, thank you guys so much for coming on. It's been great talking to all of you, and
can't wait to look forward to what you say at Justice Con as well. Look out for
that. Yeah, we're very excited about that.
Thank you. I'm also going to be on a panel at SDCC at home.
That's dope.
Oh, check me out. Really? I'm gonna post it as soon as the schedule pops up and they have it up. I'll post it so you guys can see it on my social media.
Oh,
you're
busy.
Yeah.
I was gonna skip Comic-Con at home, but I'm not now. I'm gonna watch.
Oh yeah.
It, so.
Now that we know Joe's in there, me in there like swimwear.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, once again, have a great night. Everybody, say bye.
See y'all later. Black Lives Matter. And we stand with Ray Fisher.
Let's do it. All right.
Take that as a yes.
What?
The ring.
The world remains in mourning after the death of Superman. Violence, acts of war, and terrorism are all on the rise.
I had a dream. It was the end of the world.
Invasion.
I think it's something more. Something darker.
We're asking people we don't know to risk their lives.
Strong man is strong as alone. You ever heard that?
That's not a saying. That's the opposite of what the saying is.
Divided, we are not enough.
The world needs Superman. I made him a promise.
This is why I brought you together.
Ride ain't over yet.
I'm mad.
As a bat signal, that's your... Sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
Yeah, that's what that means.
It's so cool.